Right? You know, in our times, there's nothing like getting a phone call. You know, you're doing your thing during the day. The phone rings. Ah, somebody's thinking about me. Wow, I wonder who it is. And of course, most phone systems, you can look right there, and then if you don't want to answer it, you don't. But we have an anticipation when people call us, looking forward to whatever message they may have. Of course, this might not be true if you have a warrant for your arrest or you have bills you haven't paid for. You might not want to answer that call. But it's sure great to get a call and have somebody speak to you that you love. And then, you know, there's days, too, that you'll go along and nobody calls you. And you feel, golly, nobody loves me. Nobody's called me today. You know, and you go home in the afternoon and you look on your messages. Well, they probably left a message on the machine. There's nothing on the machine. So nobody's called me. So I get all bummed out. Because, you know, I'm hoping somebody would call me that really loves me. And then I could talk with... Excuse me, my goodness. Hello? Oh, hi, honey. How you doing? How's toddler fellowship? You having a good time? Well, good, good. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you. What are you calling for? Oh, bless your heart. Well, I love you too, honey. Thank you for calling. Have a great time. Bye-bye. Oh, wasn't that sweet? I feel good. You know, somebody that loves me called me. And you know what? There's another very important call that we've all received as born-again ones. We have got the calling of God calling for us to fellowship with Him for eternity. Let's go to your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. God has called us. And God did not just call us on a whim, but with a deep-hearted motivation of love that goes way back in time. He's been thinking about us for a long, long time. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Who, God, has saved us and called us with an holy calling." Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "God has saved us and called us with" what kind of a calling? A holy calling. That's pretty special, that God would call us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Now really the text here, really it does not communicate before Genesis 1:1, you know, before everything existed. Some of your better translations talk about since the world began. And exactly when that time was, I don't know. There's some wonderful studies on that. We're going to look at some scriptures where it talks about we were called before the foundation of the world. Really, that talks about the overthrow, and which means a little later on after Genesis 1:1. So I don't know if we need to spend a lot of time figuring out when that was. But the point is, way back when, God had you and I in mind. And it wasn't like, hey man, we've got to find God. What can we do to find God somewhere? You know, what can we do to get His attention? You know what? He's the one that's been looking for us. He's the one that's been calling us according to His own purpose. Not our purposes, but His own purpose. He's the one that has the heart desire to fellowship with us. That's pretty neat. The Creator of the heavens and the earth has done that. He has called us with His purpose, His desire. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. There was a time in our life we recognized the need of God. You know, we tried to do it on our own. We thought we were pretty cool, pretty smart. But after a while, we realized there's got to be something more than what the world offers or what I could figure out in my mind. And we look for God. We seek Him out. And humbly sought Him out. But you know what? As we sought Him, He found us. Let's take a look in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith, or believing, and in this case the right way of believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? Word of God. The text read actually the word of Christ. Believing, the right way of believing comes from hearing God's word. You know what Barney was sharing? The standard of truth is God's word. It is the standard of truth, not one of many, but the standard of truth. And that's what we want to hear in that calling. In that calling. You know, that's why we're so concerned about working the integrity and accuracy of God's word. Because I don't want to know what you think of God's word or anybody else. I want to know what God intended to communicate within His word. You know, we need to know this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, of one's own interpretation. So God interprets His word for us. We see it where it's written, where it's been used before, in the context. We work the scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:15, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we're so concerned about God's word, because it takes believing to receive the things of God. And believing comes by hearing the word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. Romans, Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9. God has called us according to His own purpose. What a wonderful calling for us to learn and understand. Now look here, it says in verse 9, God is what? Faithful. God is faithful. If God said it, that's it. God doesn't go back on His word. God's not a man that He should lie. So God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God's called you, and if He's called you, He's faithful. And what a fellowship it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you ask for a better calling? Could you ask for a better fellowship? Man, people go to church sometimes and they wonder, what in the world's going on? But you and I have been called to a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There it is. We don't want to start getting private interpretation. We want to find out what the integrity of God's word says so that we can speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Man, you and I have been called with the same holy calling. What a great rejoicing it should be in our hearts to recognize that calling and live in the fullness of of that calling. God has called us. And it's not like we had to pressure Him in giving us a glance or a look-see or His time of day. He is the one that's calling us. It's His desire that's reaching out to you and I to have fellowship with us. Romans 11:29 says, and let me just read it to you. I'll save you a little turning time here. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." If God gives you a gift or if He calls you, it's without repentance. What does without repentance mean? It means He cannot change His mind. He says it, He means it, that's it. So if God's given you something, He's not going to come by and says, "Okay, Bag Larry's, give it back. I want that Holy Spirit back." No. If He's called you with a holy calling, with the fellowship, with the Lord Jesus Christ, He can't take it back. It's ours for eternity. What a great reality. Let's go to Ephesians 1:4, please. Once God calls you, He can't let you go. He can't fire you. He can't dismiss you. He can't trade you. He can't put you on injured reserve or anything. You are on His team forever. You're in His family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Now there's that word foundation of the world. I talked to you a little bit about that. In the Greek, it's the word for overthrow. And again, I don't know the accuracy or the details on that. You know, there's some studies on this, but it's not before Genesis 1:1. It's sometimes the overthrow. The point is, way back when, thousands of years ago, all of us, born again of God's Spirit, was in God's mind, His thinking, His desire for you and I to have eternal fellowship with Him. That's neat that He would say that. You know, a love situation between somebody and to say, "Man, I've been thinking about you for 10 years. Wow. Well, He's been thinking about us for thousands of years, way back when. And what? That we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Man, how can I be without blame before God? I screw up all the time. I make mistakes all the time. What does the Word say? Without blame? Holy? Holy is special. Real special. And that in God's eyes, no blame. You're holy. Now I look at myself and say, "You're crazy, God. I mess up all the time. Why would you be that way?" But you know what? I need to get to the point that I don't question God's calling. If He's called me to be holy and without blame, then that's what it is. For me to think anything less is contrary to God's Word. God is faithful, right? He did the calling, and we need to heed that calling. So He has called us that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding." The word understanding in the Greek is cardia. What's the word cardia mean? Heart. Cardiovascular heart, that's where they get that. "The eyes of your heart," what a wonderful figure of speech, "in the depth of your minds, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Enlightened to what? "That you may know what is the hope of His calling." What is the hope of His calling? God, who has called us to be holy without blame before in love way back when? Man, I want to find out what is the hope of that calling. then what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And boy, now we got the inheritance to look at. The calling, the inheritance, and then it goes on and on and on. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Whew, just goes on and on and on. Look at 1 Peter, if you would, please. You know, that's why we're getting into God's Word. We're seeing these great truths to understand who we are, the calling that God has called us with, so that we can walk in all the greatness of that calling. 1 Peter 2:9. See, we're not reading comic books here. We're reading God's Word. This is the truth. This is something we could grab onto. You know, I'm thinking about, wow, to really take this to heart. I mean, you know, we talk about self-esteem, having self-esteem, and how important it is how we think of ourselves. Well, translate into how God thinks about us and how He's called us. Man, that helps your self-esteem a little bit, doesn't it? Why not? You know, God has called us. He's the one that's calling us, desiring for us to fellowship with Him. Where are we at? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around wearing robes and all this stuff, all right? You are a holy priesthood, a holy nation, a people, a holy people. And then I like this one, a peculiar people. You're just a peculiar people. Well, again, working the Greek in here, the word here is, and what a great translation of this, a peculiar people is, a people of acquisition. You know, you acquisition something, you buy something, and we've been bought, right? What was the price paid for our lives? Jesus Christ. That precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest price of all. It says in Corinthians, we are bought with a price, right? You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself because you've been called by God Almighty and He has bought you to be His own. Isn't that wonderful? Man, if we can just mentally hold that reality in our minds, what a joy and rejoicing life can be. Well, what should we do in light of this great truth? But what does the Word say? That you should show forth the praises of Him. You should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wow! Have you ever been in a dark room for an hour? 2 hours? A day or two? Boy, that would be pretty freaky, huh? Well, this world's pretty doggone dark, isn't it? We've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we should show forth what? Praises to Him, of Him who have called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, oh man. Let's go to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'll tell you what happened. I mean, this sounds too good to be true, and that's the problem. People just say, hey man, that's just too good to be true. But I tell you, it's not me saying it. This is the Word of God saying this, right? God's Word is saying this. And He's been saying this for years and years and years. And yet, you know, I know we are so surrounded in this world and all the influences of this world. The world and its occupants are going to mess with you and your self-esteem and say you're not as good as you think you are. They're going to get you to check other lifestyles out, other considerations, other doctrines, other ways to live life. Well, we know that God's Word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, don't we? Galatians is a wonderful reproof and correction here. It corrects the doctrinal error that came into the church. So, verse 6, chapter 1, Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel. Now, a lot of times when we use that word, I marvel, it's like, wow, Look at that beautiful Porsche going across the road there. Oh, I marvel that. That's not the word here. Again, a better translation according to the Greek and other texts, it says, I'm shocked. I am shocked. That's what it's saying. I am shocked that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Why would anybody want to entertain anything else than the great truths of God's word, knowing that we're called, that we're holy and without blame before him? We have fellowship with him for eternity because of God's word, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, word of Christ. So, man, we should be shocked when we find ourselves entertaining the things of the world, other doctrines, instead of where we've been called. Called into the grace. Now, verse 7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We see that all the time. Everybody's trying to mess with the word of God. That's why we're so concerned about the integrity of the word. Now look what verse 8 says, and this blows my mind. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, look at that, though we, Paul and whoever's hanging out with him, an angel from heaven preach any other doctrine unto you than that which we have preached unto you, what should he be? Accursed. Wow. That speaks highly for the word of God, doesn't it? Man, oh man. It's a big deal. God's word's a big deal. You know, we need to take a stand on this. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. This is a wonderful leadership epistle here that we can learn from. 1 Timothy. We'll see the great exhortation to Timothy here. And again, great learning for all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith or believing. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, the right way of believing. Or just of believing, lay hold on eternal life. We've got the hope of Christ's return. We have eternal life. Let's remember that. He's coming back any moment. Man, oh man, we should get excited about that. Take a stand in our time. Take a stand for God. Why not? We take a stand for God. And let's profess a good profession. Or the word profession is confession. Let's confess God's word. Thus saith the Lord. I'm called. I'm his. I'm born again of God's Spirit. I've got the hope of Christ's return. These are things we should be concentrating on. Let's go to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. Isn't God's word tremendous? Man, oh man, this is such great truth. 2 That's why we take the time to, you know, share with you about September 11th, 3 BC. You know, what difference does it make? Could be an attitude of mine. Well, it's the integrity of God's word. That's what we're taking a stand on. You know, I think we forget. A lot of us have been so blessed to hear such an abundance of the greatness of God's word. God has given us not only that blessing, but the responsibility to do something with it. You know, we need to take a stand on this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Boy, that covers it, huh? God doesn't miss a step here. He covers everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through what? A knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Wow! That God who has called us to glory and virtue. Glory is just shining radiance. You know, He's called us just to shine, radiate. Virtue means superiority in every aspect. You know, virtue is just top in everything. Just to be the best in everything. That's God wants us to be the best in everything. That's that calling. He's called us to glory and virtue. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to your calling and election, sure. You know, give diligence to make your calling, and election, sure. This is the encouragement of God's word. Let's get diligent to stay fast on this wonderful calling. For if you do these things, you shall never fall or stumble. Let's close with Philippians 3:14. Philippians 3:14. Maybe I should call Jeannie now and bless her. Isn't that something how we, you know, we get calls or we call people just to be blessed or to bless someone? Think about God has done this in such a wonderful way. So I want you to remember every time you get a call this week, I want you to remember God's called me too. And He loves me. And don't forget that calling. All right, we're at Philippians 3:14, please. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that mark for the prize of that high calling in Christ Jesus. Man, that should be very inspiring to us. That's God's word. That's what we want to set in our mind and say, yes, you've done so much for me, God. You've called me. You've done this. You've exhibited your love by giving your Son to die for me. You've made me your Son. I'm born again of your Spirit. I've got Christ in me. Wow. Yeah. Why not press toward the mark of this wonderful high calling in Christ Jesus? Wow. Well, in light of this truth that we've been looking at in God's Word, let me ask you a question. How important are you? Really, really, really important, because God has called you. God has called you, and you are really, really, really important. Who bought you? God. Who called you? God. According to His own purpose. Who called you to be holy and without blame? God, our Father. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light? God. Let's recognize that high calling above all other callings and be our best for the Heavenly Father. You know, God loves you and has called you because you are important to Him. And you are important to the one body of Christ. So let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Well, Heavenly Father, we're sure grateful for your wonderful word and how you communicate this truth to us, that we have been called, that you've thought about us many, many years ago, and you've reached out to us in such a wonderful way. You so loved the world that you gave. So we are grateful that we can heed this calling, Father, that we can live for you because you've lived for us. So we sure love you, Father. I pray for each and every person here, just holding on to this wonderful word and this truth, Father, and just living tomorrow as your sons and daughters, knowing that they have been loved, that they have been called by you. So we sure thank you, Heavenly Father, for the richness of this truth. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen, amen, brother.
We have a word of prayer too, okay? Father, thank you for the superior excellence that we have born within us at the time of the new birth. Father, thank you so much for Holy Spirit that we receive, that we can at any time by free will just offer perfect praise, perfect prayer, Father, in a language that men may never understand. Occasionally they will. But that you understand completely, Father, and it just allows us to speak divine secrets to you. And I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to bring forth these manifestations into evidence in a believer's meeting such as this, Father, that we can be strengthened and edified and built up so abundantly. And so, Father, as we operate these worship manifestations, may our ears really be clear, and may we hold fast to those words that we hear, Father, because we understand that it's you speaking. And, Lord, thank you for just watching over our fellowship, and Lord, each individual person here, that they just get so blessed with the messages by way of tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Like Mike Barbera stands, speaking tongues.